Fakat
for those teens who haven't left already, you're dismissed to your place.
Well, I'm going to start off this morning by telling y'all that I'm missing a button. You know that little string your mom tells you never to pull? I pulled it. It's so tempting. And I have another little string I so desperately want to pull, but I've learned my lesson. And I don't want to be missing two buttons this morning. So, I'm here today for one purpose. And that's to build a platform for the Holy Spirit to get connected with you and for you to get connected with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to be teaching on some things. But in the spiritual realm, what's happening is a connection. So as you're sitting there and you're listening to the words that I speak, I want you to begin to think about the Holy Spirit. And in your mind, I want you to begin to give Him an invitation to touch you this morning. Because we already have an open heaven for it. And the whole purpose of today is to talk to you about demonstration of power and spirit. I want to talk to you about getting engaged with, engaging God the Holy Spirit for the purpose of demonstrating His power on the earth. We know that God wants to demonstrate His kingdom here on the earth. But in order to do that, we've got to get connected with on a regular basis and in a powerful manner, we've got to get connected with the Holy Spirit. Because He is the one that enables us and He is the one that teaches us how to do what we see our Father doing. Entering and maturing in the kingdom of God is a process. It has a starting place and it has a destination. And we start here when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see the kingdom of God. We see it, we believe, we receive what we see, and we become born again. In John 3:5, it says that you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and spirit. So the next step in this process is we become water baptized to cut the soulish ties. And then we become baptized in the Spirit, who is with us, but now we receive Him to come and live within us. And then we enter the kingdom of God. But that's not the whole trip. The destination is over there. And there's a process that we go through. What is the destination? The destination is to begin to do the things that we know Jesus did. To get connected with the Holy Spirit so powerfully that we're raising the dead. That we're seeing sight come to the blind. The lame begin to walk. That we hear or see the Father extend His hand, so we extend the hand. We begin to lay hands on the sick and they're healed. We begin to bind and loose as we see it bound and loosed in heaven. That's the destination. But some of us, we get stuck at the beginning. We encamp around our last experience with the Holy Spirit. Salvation? Could be salvation. Maybe it's just feeling His presence in worship. And so what we bring to our dominion here on the earth is our last experience with the Holy Spirit. Because it's in us, the DNA is in us to share about the Lord, to be a witness on the earth about the Lord. So if what we know is salvation, then that's what we're going to share, is salvation. But there's more to be shared. It's kind of like going into an amusement park. How many of you have been to Busch Gardens? Okay. Well, if you haven't been to Busch Gardens, Busch Gardens is a huge amusement park, and it's made up in different kingdoms. You know, there's, I believe near the entrance is Banbury Cross. It's like old England. And then, you know, you go into another, it might be France, or it might be, I don't know, Canada. There's different areas. Well, we compare that to the kingdom of God. If we only go as far as Banbury Cross, Old England, then that's what our testimony is on the earth, isn't it? Old England. Some of us get through the ticket booth. We put our ticket in, it takes it, and we go through the bar and it comes around. And that's what we turn and tell other people. Okay, you put your ticket here. And you go through the bar and it turns around like this. Did you see that? Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, you put your ticket here. And you go through the bar. And that's where we're encamped. We have to be engaged with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis if we're going to begin to bring that kingdom domain to this domain. If we're going to begin to exercise the authority and model what is in the kingdom of heaven here, we got to get connected with the teacher. You see, the process of having our minds renewed is a process of going through a series of experiences with the Lord and learning from the Holy Spirit and that experience. And then taking that experience and letting that be our testimony. But if we don't engage with the Holy Spirit, it's hard to be led. And that's what I want to encourage us in today. Let's begin to take a look at how engaged are we with the Holy Spirit? Where are we in this process? How do we get over there? How do we begin to prime the pump to even want to get over there? Well, I'm going to tell you about it. Let me get up on the stage. You know, it was great to hear Darren's testimony, because it's like a great testimony of this teaching, too. Some of the things I heard Darren say is, when he was on the way to the hospital, he knew he had a peace that it was going to be okay. When he was in the hospital bed, he knew he had an understanding that regardless of what was being said to him, he was going to heal quickly, he was going to be okay. So his circumstances were telling him, oh, bad burns, skin graft, surgery. At least how many days? Originally, Don, what was, you came? 30 to 50 days. Oh, man, you have to change your lifestyle. What did Darren do? Darren went with what he saw from the Holy Spirit, and he began to exercise it on this domain, and this domain conformed with what was loosed in heaven. Healing. Well, now that's a perfect testimony of what we're to be doing. And you know, it began with I just knew. And I stood by what I knew. The Holy Spirit's good about that. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit a lot today, because when you talk about Him, He shows up. We need Him to show up. He's so good about joining us where we're at and walking us into deeper understanding. Now, every once in a while, I'm going to divert and share with you what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing in the Spirit, because that's demonstration. And that's what we want to do. I've got a word for you, KDB, from the Lord. I started asking Him for words for you guys. Now, Katie, I don't know for sure if you decorate cards and send it to people, but I believe this is from the Lord. And I believe the Lord would like for me to share with you that all those cards you decorate, and I saw cards that had like flowers, like you like flowers. I don't know if this is true, but I had a sense that you like flowers. And that you decorate these cards either with drawing, or sometimes there might be a little lace, or sometimes there might even be a little piece of dried flower. But you put these encouraging words in a card, and you send it to people. And what I saw was I saw the Lord, and I saw Him standing, and before Him was a wall of every card you've ever sent. And it was a remembrance. And I saw Him looking at those cards. And when He looked at the cards, He reflected on you. And it brought Him great pleasure in His heart just to reflect. So in heaven, there was a wall decorated by KDB. And it's a wall that brings great pleasure to the Lord. Holy Spirit! Oh, that's wonderful. But doesn't that testify of how sweet the Lord is? I wish I could communicate to you how precious it was to Him to look on those cards. How much pleasure He got. Just a pleasing aroma. Okay. So we don't want to encamp around the entrance gate. We want to go do what we see the Father doing. We want to have incredible experiences with the Holy Spirit so we can then turn and say, hey, doesn't have to work this way on this realm. There's another realm, and I've seen it. I don't know all of it, but I can share this with you. Are you sick? Let me stretch my hand out with you and pray for you. Are you discouraged? I think I got something for you. That's the realm we can exercise. But the only way that I know of to learn about the kingdom of God is to engage the Holy Spirit, because He's our teacher and He's our guide. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And the sons of God are a demonstration of their Father. That we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And being led by the Holy Spirit means you've got to develop that relationship. You've got to get engaged with Him. He's moving right here. Right over here. I can see it. It's just beginning, like the Spirit is settling in here. That's neat. That's neat. We'll be taking a look over there in a little bit. And the neat thing about the Holy Spirit is that when He's taking us along that journey and He's leading us into an experience, He's always in concert with the written Word. He's always bringing to life a living understanding of the written Word. And it begins to connect. Oh! So this is what that meant. Oh! But we have to assess, where are we in the journey? We need to think about, oh, how is my relationship with the Holy Spirit? What's amazing to me is that we can live in the kingdom of God without engaging the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. We can live in the kingdom of God without seeing and interacting with the dominion of heaven. Think about it. You've got your Pharisees who knew the written word. They were scholars of the law. They knew it backwards and forwards. Yet they did not recognize the embodiment of the word in Jesus Christ. They would not give themselves over to have a living truth of the word that they had studied and passed down for generations. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was standing there at Stephen's stoning, he had no understanding that the kingdom of God had come. When heaven opened for Stephen, Paul didn't see it. He was blind and he was dumb to what was happening right there before him in the spiritual realm. It was only in his experience with the presence of the Lord on the road that his eyes were opened. And he began to come into an understanding of the living truth, the Spirit of truth. We can look at the disciples who walked with Jesus. You know, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples three times. He appeared to Mary Magdalene when she came to check on the body. She didn't recognize Jesus. She thought he was the gardener, and she said, "Where did you take the body to?" He appeared to Peter and John and some of the other disciples that happened to be out fishing. They didn't recognize him until he told the disciples to take their net and cast it on the other side of the boat. And then what happened? The net was so full that they had difficulty dragging it in. And it was only then that John said, "Peter, it's the Lord." He didn't recognize them. The two disciples that were walking on the road, and the scripture describes them as being very sad because they were talking and discussing. "We walked with him. The truth that he shared, surely he had to be the Son of God, but they crucified him. How could this happen? The pieces aren't coming together." So the Lord came to those two. And he began to walk with them. They didn't recognize him. And he began to share truth with them. And he sat with them and he ate with them. And at the end, he opened their eyes to see and understand. The point is, we want to be participants in the kingdom of heaven who have their eyes opened to what is happening in the spiritual realm, who walk closely with the Holy Spirit that is with them and in them, and so they're able to demonstrate on this realm what they know to be true in the kingdom of God. You see, the mysteries of God can never be attained intellectually. You can't study hard enough and just all of a sudden know the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God are revealed by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. So if we were to think about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, if we were to begin to evaluate just where are we? When was the last time I checked in with the Holy Spirit? Or maybe, you know, they're always talking about the Holy Spirit this and the presence that, and I've been here forever and just can't seem to get it. Where are we in that process? Where are we in that continuum? Are we like the Pharisees in that we know the Word? We are sure of the Word. We're confident in the Word. But we have no recognition of the Spirit of truth? Or are we like the disciples who didn't recognize the Lord at first, but were willing to go through experiences and be taught by Him and then, recognize Him? You know, it interests me, those two disciples that were walking along the road. And they began, after Jesus had opened their eyes, and they all, oh my gosh, He was with us. And they began to discuss the experience. And they began to say, you know, He was sharing these truths. And as He shared these truths and walked them with us, didn't your heart burn within you? Wasn't there something in us that began to testify in the Spirit that this was the Lord? Is that happening in us? These can be tough questions to ask. Do our hearts burn within us? Is there a quickening when the presence of the Lord comes in? Is there a beginning of a recognition? Do we turn aside to seek the Holy Spirit out? Or have we become very comfortable in doing Christianity? Are we comfortable with the form and the structure and the things we've always done? And that's good enough? Or do you want more? Do you want more? Yes, you want more. The DNA is in you to want more. The Holy Spirit in you will cause you to want more. Have the cares of this world began to choke out the seeds of revelation that the Holy Spirit puts in your heart? You know what that looks like. You go to work and you just every bit of energy and every one of your brain cells are just kind of sucked out. You know? And you come home and, you know, this is me. And you're doing this, click, 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 click. Then you don't have anything left to go before the Lord. And if you do determine, I'm going to go be in His presence, the next thing you know is your sleep. Because you're exhausted. Or maybe you've been at home with the kids all day, and you've just bathed the last one and got him in bed, and you sit down on the couch for the first time that day and you're trying to put two thoughts together. You know, just two. And it's not happening. That's kind of like the cares of the world. They grow up around that seed that the Holy Spirit is always putting in you to awaken you and open your eyes, to draw you in to further revelation. And the cares of the world, if we let it, begin to choke out that seed. And pretty soon we become very dull to His presence. Is that where we are? Where do we fall in that continuum? Well, once we figure out where we are, how do we get moving again? How do we reach that destination where we're seeing sight come to the blind and the lame are walking and the ill among us are healed? How do we get to that point? Well, it begins with being born again being water baptized, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we give ourselves over to the Spirit to be led and taught. We give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit to have our minds renewed. And that happens in experiences where we're willing to be changed. You know, last week, Jerry, I love this. I'm sitting here thinking last week as I watched Jerry, and he did this the whole time. Never looked at his notes once. Just so relaxed. Stood and talked and told us stories and just laid the word out just like that. Oh my gosh. Isn't he good? He's so good. You know what it made me feel like? It made me feel like when I was a little girl and my grandma and my mother and her, all of her sisters and brothers would be sitting on the porch and grandma would be rocking. We'd all be shelling butter beans. She'd be telling stories and all the grandkids would plop down. And you could just get lost in that world forever. Hearing the stories. You didn't want to move. You know? That's what it was like with Jerry. Just get lost in the world. He didn't want to move. But anyway, Jerry talked about two ways that God can change our minds. The desert and His presence. Yeah, those that have been in the desert, they laugh. Because they know what it feels like. You know, the desert will make you want to change your mind. The desert will bring you to a place of begging God to change your mind. Because in the desert, you begin to figure out that nothing you do is working and nothing you can do is going to get you out of that desert. And the only way you're getting out of that desert is for God to get you out of that desert. And so we begin the bargaining. Anything you want, I'll do it. You tell me what to think and I will be thinking it now. Anything you want me to say, I will be saying it. You know, I think I'm changed, God. Really, I am. I've learned this. I receive everything you got here. I'm done. Yeah, because we're ready to be out of that desert. And then you find yourself, after you've been to the desert one or two times, you don't want to go back. And you know how mothers have that 1-2-3 rule? Come here. 1, 2, 3. And if you're not there by 3, well, that's it. There is no more bargaining power. That's it. You know, and then sometimes mom changes the rule. She stops at 2 because she decides she's going to shorten that time that you have for obedience. And so you see the child, where was 3? You know? What happened to 3? Have you ever had God do that? Yeah. Look something like this. Click. You know, Rhonda, you really need to begin to deal with that issue. I want to talk to you about it. Oh, you're right, Lord. I am. I'm gonna focus on that issue. I just need a little bit of downtime. Click. And he comes to you again. Rhonda, you know that issue I've been after you about? Uh-huh. I'm going to change it, Lord. I have heard you. I'm going to change it. Click. And all of a sudden, the clicker's gone, the livering's gone, and you're in the middle of the desert. And we're saying, where's 3? What happened to 3? So we learn the desert's not a good place. Produces wonderful fruit in us, but it doesn't feel good. So we try to avoid the desert at all costs. And then there's the presence. You know how you tell people who've come to appreciate the presence of the Holy Spirit? Those that have been weathered through the years and have experienced the Holy Spirit coming to them and ministering to them on such a deep, loving level. Those people, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, when they talk about anything to deal with God and the presence of God, they can't get through it because they began to weep. You saw it last week with Jerry. The minute he began to talk about getting to that place where you break through on the Spirit, he couldn't talk anymore. Because it's so good. Connecting with the Holy Spirit and living in that place where you have a living, breathing relationship with Him is so sweet that the people who have been there, they can't discuss it without crying. You ever seen Pastor Lanny do it? That fascinates me. Because it tells me, oh my gosh, there's a level of passion out there that can make the kingdom of God, make the presence of the Lord so real that you're even undone just to discuss it. Well, if you're undone just to discuss it, what must it be like to be in it on a regular basis? What must it feel like to have that much love for the presence of God? And you know, when people reach that place, obedience is not something that's argued over. They become transparent. And the kingdom of God is very easily reflected in them. I want that. Don't you want that? I want that. I want to know what it is that makes you cry, and I want to cry when I talk about the Lord. I want to love Him that much that I can't get through it without being emotionally overtaken. I want it to be that real. Don't you? Of course you do. It's in you to want it. And if you don't want it today, all you have to do is ask for it, and He'll give it to you tomorrow. Because He wants to give that to you. I'm completely off of my nose. Oh. All right. So how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit so we can avoid the desert? Well, first of all, we need to know that the Holy Spirit is so good to us that He will meet us on the road where we're at. You need to remember the Holy Spirit is with you. He is with you, walking you through this. He is in you, walking you through this. He is for you. And He will meet you wherever you are on the journey. And that's where you'll start. That's where He'll begin to guide you. There is no attaining to. There is no reaching out for. It's there. You got everything you need. All we need to do is ask. Just ask Him. I want to know you like that. Just ask Him. You know, the Scripture says, ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Just ask. He's been waiting to give you that type of experience. He's been waiting to teach you the next thing. Just ask. We also need to give ourselves over to the training of our spiritual senses. Hebrews 5:14 states that we train our senses to discern that which is good and evil. Well, now I would submit to you that we train our senses to discern the presence of the Lord, to discern His voice, to discern His leading. Never once, and I'm not saying He won't do it, but never once have I ever had my hand fly up and yank me over to somebody's head. That just hasn't happened to me. Usually, it's going to be just a, gosh, you know, I think the Lord wants to heal that person. Oh, Lord, if you want to heal him, Lord, just heal him. Oh, my gosh, I think I'll have to go pray for him. Okay, well, it's just praying. I can pray for him. Okay, I'll go pray for him. And it's in the doing that we began to receive the training. Oh, my gosh, they got healed. Oh, my gosh, did you see them cry? They were being touched by something. Oh, that was the Lord. Oh. The first time you get a word for somebody. Yeah, a little bit of a quickening going on, and oh, I think I know how they're feeling. If I go up and I say this to them, they're just going to think I'm nuts. I don't even know them. My gosh, how can I do this? Okay, I'll just play it down really low. I'll just give them the words, and I'll just run. Can't hit a moving target. And then we go and we deliver the words, and we find out that it was life and bread to them. And you think, oh my gosh, I'm doing something here on this realm that isn't of this realm, because there's no way that I would have known that about that person. And the way they responded, they said that's just what they needed. Wow. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Wow. And I've even turned to the Lord and said, you know, you could have said it just a little louder. I mean, that one could have passed right by. No clue. And he says, you know, with the training, I get a little bit quieter and a little bit quieter until pretty soon it's just like a sensing. You know where he's going. But if we never reach out our hand, if we never respond to, oh my gosh, I think I know how that person's feeling. Oh, I think I just had a word for this person. If we never respond, we will never allow our senses, our spiritual senses, to be developed. We won't know what this is. We won't know what these thoughts that just appeared in our head meant. We won't know what the tingling on our hand means. And sometimes the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will manifest Himself on your body the way He won't manifest on someone else's body. Pastor Lanny often talks about heat in his hand. I don't have that. Other people will talk about tingling in their hand when they sense the healing anointing. I don't experience that. Usually the Lord will, I'll just see it or I'll sense it. But I didn't come to know that about me by not responding. I had to train my senses. You know, when I first started seeing angels, I thought, I'm not telling anybody, they're going to think I'm nuts. That's the truth. Tammy used to have to drag it out of me, and she said, I'm your sister, you can tell me. Okay, but don't tell anybody else. So I'd draw them, and then I'd get the courage, and I'd show Lanny. And then the other day, you know, one Sunday, I'm up here telling many people, I see angels. Now, I know what a few of y'all thought. Because sometimes I can hear your thoughts. Now, isn't that bad to admit? But you know when I figured out that I wasn't nuts and I actually might be seeing angels? It's when Bobby Connors came here one day. He was ministering. He just showed up one day. No. He came one day and was ministering. And I happened to be standing down there. And he turned, he wheeled around. He said, you like seeing those angels, don't you? And I thought, I'm really seeing angels. But I tell you what I could have done. In the very beginning, I could have said, that's weird. Not going there. And as soon as I closed myself off to the Holy Spirit in that aspect, that would have been it. He would have honored, okay, not going there. But let's try this right here. Because He's always after to bring us into truth. Thank goodness He's always after us. Isn't it great how faithful He is? He's always after us. So we have to give ourselves over to training our senses. Because you know, we're supposed to be demonstrating the kingdom of God in this realm. We are supposed to be coming to people, testifying of the gospel with demonstrations of spirit and power. Let me tell you something. Persuasive words will not change a person. It might influence them, but it won't change them. But an encounter with the living God will. An encounter with His presence and His Spirit will change you. And it'll be an immediate change. Somewhere in my notes I had something to say about that. Dang, come rub my... I need to get a little bit of you in me. Just sit here. Just flow with them. Somewhere in my notes I was going to talk about Paul. And how on that experience on the road with him and the Lord, he was changed immediately. You know, it's like in Isaiah, and Jerry referred to this in Isaiah where he says, he comes into the presence of the Lord and he says, woe is me, I am undone, I am ruined. You know immediately where you stand, you know immediately what your condition is, you know immediately what the truth is, and there is opportunity and there is grace in that moment for the two to become one, and you are able to step over into another truth. And then you are given eyes to see what you could not see before. Experiences with the Holy Spirit will change you. And when it changes you, it'll change the realm in which you exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't we need it? I love the fact that we're sitting here clapping at Darren's testimony because God went against everything in the natural realm of how it should have occurred. I'd much rather to do that than to be sitting here praying, oh God, please let the surgery go well. Oh God, please shorten the stay. That's a much better testimony. All right. So we know if we want to progress along that pathway with the Holy Spirit, we ask Him. We know we have to give ourselves over and cooperate with Him for the training of our spiritual senses. Another helpful tip is to begin to set our minds on things above. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So now that we belong to the kingdom of God, there is a desire within us to be about our Father's business. We want to do what He wants us to do. That DNA gets stirred by the Holy Spirit. He begins to try and pull that DNA out that's in us. We want to perform the things that we see Jesus doing. We want to do it on the earth. We want to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Like Colossians 1:9. We want to be filled, grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding. We want to behave in a manner that's worthy of the Lord. We want to bear good fruit. We want to increase in the knowledge of God. It's in us. But the thing that helps cultivate and nurture that is to let your thoughts reflect on the Holy Spirit. Reflect on the kingdom of heaven. Because it's real easy to stay down here amongst the people that have had their brains sucked out by work. And three-year-olds, you know, that repeat themselves constantly, constantly, constantly. We need to think on heaven. We need to pursue that, to pursue heaven's perspective. Because Darren had heaven's perspective, his situation was different. If he had began to think about, oh, well, this is the scenario, he didn't do that. He just hung to what the Holy Spirit told him in the very beginning. But exercising the kingdom of heaven requires that our hearts be connected to that domain. You know, there's a saying, I've been listening to some tapes of Bill Johnson, and he has this quote. He says, if you want to live from heaven toward earth, you have to sow into what you cannot see. You have to sow into what you cannot see. You got to spend some time thinking about what you cannot see. You got to spend some time drawing those angels. Maybe talking about them a little bit. Maybe talking to the Lord about it a little bit. Maybe exercising that sense. Spend some time there. The kingdom of heaven is the model we should be demonstrating here on the earth. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. We've already been given the keys. The keys are binding, loosing, and knowledge. We just need to become familiar with how the model operates. Because if we can get familiar with how the model operates, we already got the goods here. We can begin to do what we see the Father doing. Okay, place hand here. Pray. Okay, use the name of Jesus. That's how it works. But if we don't spend any time getting connected with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to know what to do here in this realm. We need to cultivate a desire for the reality of the kingdom of heaven. You know how I do that? I'll get a hold of a book. We were going to Georgia, flying to Georgia, and there was this book I was reading. And in this book, this person was telling about his encounters with God. And I was thinking, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Lord, I want you to put a note in heaven. Rhonda wants this. I want to experience you like that. Oh my gosh. If someone is hearing the Lord, I want to hear the Lord. If someone is stretching forth their hand in healing, I want to stretch forth my hand in healing. If someone is seeing another realm that's not here, I want to see the other realm that's not here. If someone is doing something where the presence of the Lord can be felt, I want to go sit in their house. Or I want to go sit in their meeting. Because I want to feel what that feels like. If someone stands up here and says, oh, the presence of the Lord is really heavy, I want to be out of my chair and over there. Where? Where? This? What does it feel like to you? It feels like that? Okay. Cultivate it. Because it's real easy to get bogged down in this realm, you know? You get your face down in the mud and you just got the bubbles coming up as you breathe. We got to do something to get our face up. And those are the little ways we get our face up. We got to prime that pump. And the Holy Spirit is to say, okay, you want that? You want to know that? Come on, come on, come on this way. I'll lead you in this. He desires to share that part of Himself. He desires for us to share everything that there is for Jesus because He takes that which is of the Lord and makes it known to us. Cultivate a desire for the reality of the kingdom of God. God wants to manifest His kingdom on the earth. He wants to manifest it through us. John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. You know what that tells me? It tells me that somewhere in that progression, I'm going to be able to do the works of Jesus. And not only those, but something greater. Something greater that the Holy Spirit will show me. There is a real adventure out there. It's a real adventure we have full access to. We don't even have to go anywhere to get it. It's all right here. It requires the renewing of our minds. The renewing of our minds to me means I go from experience to experience where the Holy Spirit teaches me something that illuminates the written Word of God, but lifts it off the page and makes it living And that becomes a part of me. Then I go to the next experience. And suddenly, that which was strange has become normal. I remember the first time Tammy and I, we went in, we were raised Southern Baptist Church people. Tammy's my sister. And we went to church together into this spirit-filled church because we didn't know, we just knew we had to get somewhere. And some young man was slain in the spirit before us, fell right across our feet, maybe about 6 feet from my feet. And we were like looking down and we're thinking, do you think they see him? They don't seem to be upset by this. Okay. Should we do something? No, I don't think so. They're not doing anything. He's breathing, okay. And finally we came to the conclusion, well, just look up, don't look at him. Pretend he's not there, it's okay. They're okay with it, we're okay with it. Now, let me tell you something. The Lord be with you if you get slain during worship during this service because you faint or for a physical reason, because nobody around here is going to know anything else that you were slain by the Lord. We will not be coming to help you. Now, what does that speak? That which was strange has now become normal. And that's how it should be. Make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. Go at risk with Him and trying to exercise your senses. Okay, I think this is God. Go at risk with Him. It's okay. Set your mind on things above. Engage the Holy Spirit. Because this is not the whole deal. Salvation is not the whole picture. Manifesting the kingdom of God is the whole picture. We are meant to do it. We can do it. And it can be fun along the way. Engaging with the Holy Spirit can change your life dramatically. It'll change your children's life, and it'll change the domain that you live in. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come. Now, let me ask you, how many of you, I promise not to ask you to come up and do anything yet, how many of you are willing to go at risk with the Holy Spirit today? Are you willing to be engaged by the Holy Spirit? Doesn't matter. It can be a little tiny, tiny little thing. It can be a big thing. How many are willing to be engaged by the Holy Spirit today? I promise you, I have never had Him not show up and do something. He's very good to me because He knows if He doesn't show up, it's going to be very hard for me to get back up here again. He will show up. He'll show up for you. Are you willing? Do you need to be engaged with Him? Yes. All right. I'm going to show you what it looks like. I'm going to go at risk today. I have never before with the Lord asked to get a word with specific names and then deliver that. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to go at risk, ooh, where it feels uncomfortable. And if I miss it, it's okay. Because I'll catch it the next time. Because you know why? The Lord saw that I was willing to step out there. Missed it this time, but I'll catch it the next time. Because I was willing to step out. All right. Katie, I gave you yours. That was easy. That was safe. Katie will just smile at me. Is there a Gloria in the room? A Gloria. Anybody with a middle name of Gloria or a nickname of Gloria? Okay. Phew. Missed that one. It's okay. I'll catch the next one. How about a Bill? Do we have a Bill? A Bill going once? A Bill going twice? Oh, you're having fun with this, aren't you? Okay. Bill? Okay. We had a Bill. Felt like the Lord was saying that He's bringing you out of the desert and He's bringing you to a banquet table. If for you to be able to partake of all of the different foods at that banquet table. Now, I don't know what all that means. That's something for Bill to take to the Lord and figure out how that applies in his life. How about, is there a Katie and a Paul that are together, a couple, a Katie and a Paul? We have a Katie and a Paul? Okay, no Katie and Paul. And I've already given Katie her word. Okay, now, did I survive that? I have just stood up in front of how many people? 60 people? Called out names of words that I thought I had for people, and they didn't respond. Am I still alive? Yes. Am I crushed? No. Am I embarrassed? Oh, just a little bit. But I'll get over that. Am I going to get up here again and do the same thing? You betcha. Is God going to show up? Yes. And I hope I'm able to read your license number to you. Aha! Now that's what it takes. Is there anybody out there that's willing to go through what I just did? You don't have to call names out. Are you willing to step out in a way like that? You saw that I was okay and I survived it. Okay, then let's do this. We know. Let me have soft music up here, if I can. Please. We know. Yeah, Marty. Where's Marty? Marty. We know that it begins, connecting with the Holy Spirit begins with being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to invite those of you who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit to come up right over here. If you have not received your spiritual language, I need for you to come up right over here. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is here to baptize you in the Spirit and give you your language. So if you haven't, come over here. You've got a great journey ahead of you. This is going to be wonderful. Truly wonderful. You've received the Lord as your Savior, and you're ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're ready to start the journey. This is great. I can feel Him already approaching. I need someone who's willing to come walk these folks here through this process. Thank you, Mike. Anyone else that's willing to walk, Mike? I need someone to come and stand and pray with them. All right? Okay. Thank you. You feel that? He's already coming towards you. All right, now, how many of you are willing to go at risk with the Holy Spirit and ask Him to give you a word of healing for someone out there? Now remember, this is the place where we get to train our spiritual senses in a safe place where the speaker has already blown it a couple of times. Can't get any safer than that. Is there anyone that's willing to come up and be trained? Just to step out there. I'm going to get folks up here to help you. If you're willing to do that, to ask the Holy Spirit for a word of knowledge of healing for someone else, why don't you stand here? Susan, would you come up and help with these folks? Now, Susan's going to come stand here. You're going to face her, and then she's going to turn you back toward the crowd. Thank you, Lord. Now, is there anybody out there that's willing to step out and exercise their spiritual senses and minister to someone else an encouraging word from the Lord? If you're willing to stand face to face with someone and pray with them and administer an encouraging word to them, I want you to come stand right here. Come stand right here. Okay, Peggy and Rebecca, if you would come join these folks. Now, I'm going to ask us to return to worship. Would you put this down? Before I do that, though, that's for Peggy. Any of you who would like to have an encouraging word from the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come stand in front of these folks right here. And if you don't need an encouraging word, I'm going to ask you to join them in their boldness to step out and minister. In other words, I need bodies in front of these people who are willing to go at risk with the Lord. And look at that. You know, this is an obedient church when you just put it in the right way. You have to use that Lanny language. I need bodies. Okay. Now we're going to return to worship. And we're going to have a good time. You know, the Holy Spirit is all about having a good time with Him. Okay? I ask you, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation, to come and visit these people. I ask you to come and fill them with your Spirit. I ask you to come and give them words of knowledge for healing. And I ask you to come and minister encouragement to the people, to fill their mouths with your words. Now, those of you out there, I ask you to stay for a little bit so that these people can get a word for you and bless you. Thank you, Lord. Let's return to worship. Makuranishin.